Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Keeper, until the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. But the signs remind us of violence. The signs remind us of crime. The signs remind us of senseless killings. The signs remind us of five-year-olds killing individuals on the streets of America. The signs remind us of hatred. The signs remind us of disliking one another. The signs remind us of drug addiction. The signs remind us of child abuse and family abuse and abuse of all kinds. The signs remind us that we live in the end times. Reminds us that Jesus simply reminds us that we live in the end times now, right now. We live in a time in which we destroy one another. We dehumanize one another. We live in a time in which the old saying, "Oh, he hard said, oftentimes, if there weren't for bad luck, I would have no luck at all." It seems as if though if there were not for good news, bad news, we would have no good news at all. So the signs reminds us of the coming of the end time, that we live in the end times right now. But the signs also reminds us that Christ is coming. The signs reminds us that God is once again is preparing to send his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. That God is preparing to send Christ once again, and upon his second coming, he comes with power and might. He will no longer come clothed in a manger. He will no longer come riding on the back of an ass. But he will come with power and great might to prove to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. But as church, we can get caught up in the bad news of the times. As a church, you and I and our parishioners and the people in whom we go out to proclaim the good news to can get caught up in the bad news. That we can become so fearful of proclaiming the good news because it seems as if though there's bad news all around us. Well, hasn't there been bad news ever since our first parents plunged us into sin? Do you recall in the very first thing happened after Adam and Eve fell into sin is that Cain took his brother Abel out into the field, and there he killed his brother Abel. And the second story of the Bible tells us that Lamech killed a man. And then God said that his spirit would not always dwell with man because he's evil even from his infancy. Sin does that to us. It separated us from God, and it separates us from one another. It brings bad news in our lives, and we live in a world of bad news, and we inflict bad news upon one another. Never forget the gentleman in my congregation by the name of Mr. Jones, who was blind. And each Friday, I would go to visit Mr. Jones, and there I would commune him, and there I would have a devotion with Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones lived alone in a one-bedroom apartment. And as I would go and sit and talk with Mr. Jones, I could remember the signs of the times in which he was blind and he lived in a blind world. And sitting there, Mr. Jones would say, "Pastor, I can't remember a lot of the scriptures that I heard and believed when I was a small child," but there's one scripture I remember. And I think it's somewhere in the book of John where Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled, believe in me. Believe also in God, believe in me." And he said, "Pastor, could you read that scripture to me?" And I would turn to John 14 and there read that to Mr. John, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions." And he said, "Pastor, that's good news. That's good news. Even in the midst of my blindness, that's good news to me. Because I know that Jesus is coming one day. And I know that I will no longer be blind. I know that one day God will restore my sight, but I live in this world now, and I stumble and I fall in my apartment. And sometimes when I get up, I don't know where I am. And it may take me hours and sometimes even all the day long to find out and to get myself back together again and to find out where I am in this apartment. But what saves me, Pastor, is to know that Jesus Christ one day is coming. And in his coming, things will be made all right again. The signs of the time and the end of the age. The signs of the time, Jesus reminds the disciples that it will be a time of great violence on the earth. And my friends, we live in that time. We live in a time in which violence is all around us, and even in the midst of the church. How many times as I proclaim the gospel to my congregation, only to receive a call in the night, Pastor, come soon, come soon, come quickly. And as I would get out of the bed and get ready to go, my wife said, where are you going? It's so late an hour. I say, well, something happened and I need to go. And she said, well, can't they wait until in the morning? I said, they said, come soon and come quickly. And I would enter into the room and in the houses of my people, and there you would see some of the most heinous things that happen in the lives of people. The signs of the time and the end of the age. The signs of the time means that you and I live in a volatile world. We live in a sinful world. We live in a world in which sin afflicts us each and every day of our lives. We live in a bad news world, but there's good news, my friends. Each time I would enter into the house of conflict, I was the person that brought good news in the midst of the conflict of the lives of God's people. Anytime I would go to a hospital room, I was the person who would stand there and bring good news in the lives of the people who were on their deathbeds. When the doctor came in and said, there's nothing else we could do, I was hoping that I could give them a sense of life, some quality of life as they were dying, but there's nothing that I could do. And I was the only person in that room that the parents were looking at to simply say, well, Pastor, what do we do now? And I pointed them to the cross. There is where God has dealt with the sin and death and pain and suffering and the afflictions of the world. There on the cross is where God used the violence of the cross to deal with the violence of the world. There in that cold tomb is where God dealt with death in the world. Then in that glorious day, the resurrection, God gave the world new life in his Son, Jesus Christ. The signs of the time and the end of the age. The signs of the times, my friend, is that you go out into a very violent world, but you go out with good news. And it is so easy for preachers to get caught up in bad news also. It is so easy for you as a pastor of your congregation to revel in the bad news, to tell your people about all of the bad news of the world, to preach law and never share the good news of the gospel to them, to tell them how evil the world is, and the world has always been evil since the fall into sin. But there's good news. And the good news is this, that God sent his Son in the midst of a world that is full of evil. And he died, and he rose again, that we might have life and have it abundantly. And that's good news, my friends. There will be many coming to your congregations looking for good news, looking for someone simply to say a word of good news to them. Yes, you must preach the law to them, and you must remind them that sin separates us from God and from one another. But there's good news that God has brought the relationship back together once again in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's good news. In a bad news world, we look for comfort in all of the wrong places. I'm reminded of what Peter said when the church had, in the midst of all of the violence, and the church had just spread throughout the world, and Peter wrote this letter to them, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He reminded the church, in the midst of the violence of this world, God still cares for us. He reminded us today that as you go out into a world that is full of violence, that God is there in Christ Jesus to help you along the way to preach good news. Watch out, he said, for bad news. Watch out for whom you get your gospel from. For there are many out there like the Koreshes and the Joneses of the world that will be telling your people, yes, the people that you preach to on Sunday mornings, about some foreign good news. And you better believe it, my friends, that your people will be listening to those false prophets. But you're the one who would stand up and remind them that Jesus Christ is the only prophet, and he is the prophet of good news. Be on guard, he says, for in a bad news world, things don't always turn out the way we expect them to turn out. In a bad news world, bad things happen to people because of sin. And you stand there as a person who can proclaim good news in the midst of the bad news that happened in the lives of people. Preach the gospel, he says, in a bad news world, because the gospel is the only good news that you and I have to deliver unto the world. Luther once wrote that preachers should be about prayer, meditations, and afflictions. Prayer and meditations. He said, afflictions will come, but oftentimes they drive us to prayer and meditation. And in the midst of our prayer and our meditation, our affliction, we realize that God has given us strength and courage to hold on in those times. So in the midst of bad news, he reminds us to hold on. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. Only through the gospel. Only through the gospel. Let me close with a story about a young lady in one day in Houston who came into my church on a downpour in Houston. It was one of those days when the heavens had opened up and it was just raining, torrential rains in Houston. And I was sitting there in my office preparing for a sermon, and I heard the front door open. And quickly I got up and looked out, and as soon as I could look out, this young lady was upon me. She was shaking violently and crying, and she was crying out and screaming to the top of her voice, "I'm tired of being abused." And it made me fearful. And I said, "Ma'am, who's abusing you?" And she said, "The whole world is abusing me." She said, "The man I'm living with abused me. And I left there last night, and I lived up the street in that trailer. It was a mobile home up the street where all of the indigent live, not more than a block away from the church." And she said, "I was abused in there last night." And I said, where are your parents? And she said, "They gave me away as a child. In the foster home that I lived in, I was abused there also." And I said, "Well, how could I help you? Can I call some place so that you could be put up for the night?" And she said, "No, I would not go to a shelter because they abuse you too." Like a good Lutheran preacher, I said, "Well, God loves you." And she said, "Don't tell me about God. Don't tell me about God. I don't care about God. God hasn't done anything for me." She said, "I hope Jesus would die again on the cross." And I said, "Yes, but he died already on the cross for your sin." She said, "Don't tell me that. That's just something preachers say." And she said, "Leave me alone. As soon as I get my composure, I'll leave your church." And I tried to share the gospel with her, but she did not want to hear the gospel. And this young lady, no more than 21 or 22 years old, walked out of the church back into the torrential rain of life, going down the street, crying and convulsing as she's going down. And that was the day I thought, is there any power in this gospel that we preached? And I went back to my office almost in tears, but then I turned to that first chapter of the book of Romans. Once again, I read this for my own soul, where in the first chapter of Romans, that 15th and 16th verse, St. Paul simply writes, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel of righteousness from God is revealed a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." My friends, I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. But when I looked out at the world, when I proclaimed the good news of the gospel, and even when my own parishioners seemed as if though they were not listening, I knew that God still delivered good news in his son, Jesus Christ. The signs of the time and his coming. His second coming simply means that he comes in power and in glory. And every eye shall see him, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that God's son, Jesus Christ, is Lord and God. And that's good news. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you as you proclaim the good news. Amen.